for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday morning, October the 27th, 2011. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service, teaching on Chosen Ones.
Well, I'd like to go ahead and invite up our brother Jim Landry to come and minister to us. Let's welcome him.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bo. Good morning, congregation of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I know a lot of places this morning when they saw the power of God be so powerful as it was this morning in our praise and worship, they would have stopped it and took up an offering. And so we need to get our spiritual garden clean, because maybe it might have one or two in here might have felt this way, but I don't know. I thought for a while as we started in praise and worship some words that God placed in my heart in 2007. And just share a few moments. This morning's message, and by the way, welcome to our internet group that are participating and watching our meetings here at Lake Hamilton. Our love and blessings to you. This morning we're going to speak about the chosen ones. You are the chosen ones. But I want to just mention to you that as a soldier of the Lord, He has not called you to work just on weekends. We are not weekend warriors. We do ministry every day, and when we don't have anyone else to work on, we work on ourselves. In fact, if we really know what's happening, we're working on ourselves as we work on others. Every soldier's attitude should be that when they are engaged in a battle, even working on self-deliverance, that there will be no compromise, there will be no tie, no 50-50, no giving back valuable territory that has been obtained through the battle. You're in it to win it. You're already dead, and you've been resurrected through Christ Jesus. The enemy cannot kill you. You already have the old man has been crucified, and you are alive through Christ Jesus. And so when confronted with the challenges that come, because I've had people, and I'm certain some of you have too, just jump out of their cars and try to assault me. Just stop right in dead air. I don't even know why they did it. And I know why. And so my emphasis is not on the person that's in the temple. My emphasis is on the soul in the temple. Because I know who's driving the temple was the devil at that time. And so our purpose as chosen ones is to take it to the enemy's camp. And I noticed we sung that song yesterday, going to the enemy camp. And I've taught our group to say we are running there. It was take a MiG 14 jet, whatever, 15, whatever. It was, you're supposed to be diving in there. You're supposed to be, I don't even know how to explain it. But other than telling you the urgency is there, right now, like it has never been in humanity. These are times of restoration. And we're seeing, in some places, denominations, non-denominations, also beginning to, starting to answer the basic fundamental calls of spiritual warfare. Many of them have been thrust in battles that they don't even know how to handle, and there are very few generals. And God is raising up a body movement like we saw in the first century church. Not a body that won't work without the head, Jesus Christ, or a body that won't be submitted to government authorities, but a body that realizes its function now is the believer's ministry. You are the chosen ones. And it's so important as chosen ones to understand the importance of mentorship. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. I've written on it in one of my chapters in this book. I talk about authority. And I have probably a dozen tapes here, or half a dozen tapes to a dozen tapes on authority, or delegated authority, the role of authority, how to submit. And I'll tell you that everybody got something to do. God is called to do nothing. and so we know you all have ministries. But in my cell phone, by the way, our intercessory group on Thursday mornings, we have a targeted group, and they're meeting right now, and they're praying for all of the ministries around the world, and the things that are going on and have gone on in Haiti, Japan, Somalia, the assassination of Christians in Pakistan, the works that are taking place in Kenya, the starvation, pestilences, our own issues in our own nations, and all apostolic, the tornado results in Joplin. That's their responsibility, not sitting there and talking, Pastor, would you lay hands on me? That's territorial warfare. And we need to set aside some time where we are working and praying for the nations and praying for this nation. Secular authorities, governmental authorities, spiritual apostolic authorities. But in my little pocketbook here, in this little AT&T device, I'm sure AT&T didn't know I'd use it this way, are all of my mentors and pastors. And with the flick here of a phone, I can hit a button. It says it's locked out right now. And I can call Pastor Parrish in Guatemala. I can call Sister Jerry right here. She's one of my mentors. I can call Lake Hamilton Camp for support. I can call Artisan Dipsy Thomas way up in North Carolina, been in retirement over 10 years, way up in age. I can call Pastor, you would think I'd know my Pastor Harlan Dean's phone number by heart, but it's still in here. Pastor Ed Johnson, that's the pastor of our ministry. His number is, oh, by the way, my wife is in here too. Apostle Daryl Parrish is inside here. Okay. I don't call him for, and I'm going to mention this again, a little chit-chat. And just a couple nights ago, I was on the Internet trying to find a ministry for someone in Mexico. Mexico is a very large country. So I was trying to see if we had anybody anywhere, anybody we're affiliated with, that could help this boy that had marginal onset of schizophrenia. And so finally, I just contacted another friend of mine and said, listen, from what I read in his description, just pray for him on the phone. I believe this boy can be delivered. Just pray for him and cast that thing out and speak into his life. Because he wrote very intelligently. I know the dialogue of a schizophrenic, and he was very marginal. And so while I was surfing the net looking for that, I caught Pastor Norman Parrish doing a live radio broadcast in Costa Rica, and they had him on cell phone. It was a rainstorm in Guatemala. I said, man, look here, 81 years old, putting it out there, buddy. All right. So some of us can't wait to get there tomorrow, and they tell you we want our deliverance yesterday. But I'm saying, what's the rush? I mean, we got this thing here year after year, learn year after year, year after year. You got to keep on digging and digging. Just recently, I was up in New York and in Providence, not on an independent journey, by the way. I don't go anywhere like that. And I was surrounded by fellow camp meeting friends, fellow team members. I stayed at James and Veronica's house. I know they took off their jobs because they were real busy. And James, his wife was trying to get me to dance up here a while ago. And Brother Kern said, I look like I was zombified or whatever. But we are friends. I stayed at their home. And Teresa Barnwell was there. She's not here. She's an airline stewardess flying around right now. And Bill Wilson, that usually is here, he was there. And several of our friends from here were there. And we just had a great time. And then on Sunday, I had fellowship with another fellow member of our international network of ministers, Dr. Olu Otio, I think that's pronounced his name. I heard someone say his name. Etiola. Well known, respected deliverance worker, studied under Pastor Worley in the early years. One of the first things he asked me was, as you knew Brother Worley? I said, yeah. And so while we were in Jamaica, Queens, and attended this wonderful ministry, wonderful people, and he told them right there, he said, Pastor Landon, if I'd known you was out there in the audience, I would not have even spoke this morning. And so it's just a wonderful relationships that are being developed. I could have easily announced. I knew months in advance I'd be there. I knew I'd be going to his assembly. I knew he was part of our group. But I said, no, I knew I was going to have a week of work, and this would be time for me to get refueled. All right. Well, it would have been a great opportunity to pick up $1,000 too, wouldn't it? Depending on how you look at it. And so while we were down there in the Queens and enjoying fellowship with this man of God, he asked me a question. He said, "Pastor, why do so many churches in America reject the message of deliverance?" And I answered him out of Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, verses 3 through 5. And within those chapters, within that chapter, Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 3 through 5, I believe that you will read in the first two verses that God has given a commandment, or he has ordered that we deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor. In fact, in Acts 10:38, I heard it mentioned the other night, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth delivered all those that were oppressed of the devil. And so this was a divine commandment. Deliverance is a divine commandment. He's not asking, he's ordering. And then what does he say if they don't do this? He says that they will come under a curse. But if they do, that king shall come into the gates of this place, into your ministries. God wants us to walk in that kingly anointing. Jesus preached the kingdom. The 12 preached the kingdom. The 70 preached the kingdom. Even the one that John stopped. Lord, we saw one casting out demons. He didn't follow us. He wasn't in our clique. He didn't do our methods. His strategy wasn't the same way we do it. So we stopped him. Jesus said, "Stop no man like that. Forbid him not. No man can do a miracle in my name, speak lightly of me. He that is with me is not against me." Jesus preached the kingdom. They preached the kingdom. Why are you preaching anything else? Oh, well, praise and worship over with now, I guess. Well, duh. All right. Okay. All right. Well, God said he was going to, if we would be obedient, that he was going to raise up kings with divine authority, with divine dominion, would come into the fullness of sonship and in the fullness of servanthood. But it says if we don't do that, then a curse will come upon us. So I'm talking to the chosen ones. I want to make sure you understand today, because I know we have people here that are sorting out. And if we are, if some of us old timers are wise, then we'll listen to what these young people are getting. Some of them tap closer to God than we do sometimes. Sometimes we have to be asleep before God can speak to us. All right. Y'all know he chose bullheaded Peter, doubting Thomas. Okay. So we got a motley crew in here. And we're going to have to learn how to cooperate, learn how to work. Most of the time, the enemy stirs all kind of misunderstandings over a slight statement. And all you got to do is take your time and ask the person politely, "What did you intend? What was your meaning?" Instead, we just keep that air wall up of Jezebel. That's a trick of the devil. I'm not in the business of trying to rescue people out of their misunderstandings. But I'm telling you, just ask people sometime and listen. And don't ask with a question, and they'll tell you what they meant. He says that if we will not deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor, that this place would be emptied out. And so, you know, particularly in America, there are many churches today, many churches that are down to nothing. And there are a number of churches that are malnutrition, and it's very disturbing. So you are the chosen ones. And I want to remind you that deliverance is indispensable for each of you and your churches to come into kingship. The Bible says that you and I are kings. The Bible teaches we are a royal priesthood. But how many are living to that standard? I can tell you very few. Very few are living to that standard, and it's because they haven't been delivered. They are not teaching deliverance. They have not continued to receive deliverance. Sometimes we get that water baptism deliverance, you know, and so but it turned out to be snap, crack, and pop. Well, okay. And so we have to be revisited. Sometimes we have to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know this is old school to some of you apostolic people that have been on the road for a while, but I can go all the way back to babyhood right now. And they can come sit me down right now, and I can listen. And so I don't listen based on the intellect of a person's delivery. I want to hear what God's saying to me. I don't care how many times I done heard the message. It's something for Jim in that message. And so we should be sensitive to the fact that we got some start-outs in here, and they're marking us. They're watching us. Because their ministry is they're going to start working, go back home and try to get things going because they know they chosen ones. They're not saying it in, I'm not saying it in a prideful way to you chosen ones. I'm simply meaning the translation of chosen one is to be appointed. The word of chosen also means apostles. Okay, so you're administrators of the spiritual warfare and the supernatural and deliverance into this next generation. Yes, you are the chosen one, whether you want to believe it or not. And so in verse 5, he said, but if you will not do it, then if you fail to deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor, then this house will become a desolation. So churches after churches, particularly in America, are closing their doors. Their hearts are closed to deliverance. So this is the way, and Brother James and his wife, Sister Veronica, were with me in the pastor's office after service. And when he asked me the question, and I spoke to him on this wise. We need to have an answer when we ask the question, not just go off in Hollywood. Oh, and we'll get on that in a minute. We'll talk about Hollywood and deliverance ministry in a minute. That's why I say it's probably best not even take up an offer at all this morning. No, we're not going to take up one. We're going to believe God. And but, you know, on the other hand, I know that we do have the large works going on around this nation and overseas. I'm particularly interested right now. There's a real burden right now for Pakistan. I just want to get into the Middle East with a little bit more strategic warfare because I believe in biblical prophecy, and I believe that that's going to be a very important region in the final days. And I just would pray that we have workers and intercessors and spiritual warfare at least brought to, and I'm certain it's there, but I just want to make contact with people, let them know I love them. I'm over here praying with you and binding demons and casting out spirits too. So I just want a part of that. I want a part of that because I know that's where it's going to sum up at. I want a piece of that action. Any real soldier would want to go to the war. They may not volunteer to be the partner. I'd be careful. This brother was in Vietnam, you know. I'd be careful if somebody was asked, so far, let me be there. I'll be out in front. I'll let you. Whoever they have out in front, that's who's going to kill first. So something wrong with that kind of person. Anybody here volunteered? Every one of y'all was drafted. Every one of y'all was drafted. Well, I was in the basement praying. Somebody, a demon, told me, I ain't coming out. Then I bought the book, Written Pigeon and Paul. Every one of y'all was drafted. So watch those that want to run out there and say, I'll go first. I'll be watching. I'll be saying, hold on, hold back. I was overseas one time, and the brother, he got excited. We was coming after some Caribbean spirits. He jumped off. He's no martial arts. He jumped off, way off the poop, and hit the floor, and he was coming at him, boy, and he could speak the language to you from Puerto Rico. I said, get on back over there. He was about to manifest. My wife went over there and said, get back. As soon as he did, they come out of the chair. Blah. So we got to have seers too. So we got to watch. And normally a watch is not the one that want to run out there and do something. And so, we need that person. We need that chosen one with our group too. But they need to have mentors to watch them. Okay. Whoa. It's raining outside. It's raining. In the military, I was I ain't gonna believe this. I was a lot of things, but I was a drum major for the band. And I have pictures and I have a book to show you all this for those who want to go question that. And the only thing that could destroy a drum major's dream is when somebody rain out their parade. Yeah. Some of us, yeah, parades rained out. Oh, but oh, you've got the mega churches. You've got thousands in attendance at the mega church, and many of them are, unfortunately, brother, on a religious show. People going on Sundays for 1 hour, having a little chit-chat, a little entertainment, a little religious entertainment, and the man or the woman, or at least they got a man body and a woman body, whatever they are, but anyway, they up there, and the people come out real, you know, they come out feeling real good about themselves, and they don't get disturbed, and repentance is only for the tens and hundreds. They're gonna let you know. After service, when they come home, what happened? Well, we had 35 people came up and said, baby, you ought to be if you got 15,000 out there in the audience. But the problem is they think repentance is only for the salvation people, and it is. But we need to go past that. Amen. All right, so how many churches in America are ministering deliverance this way as we are being taught? Very few. So there's the curse. This house will become a desolation. So how do you feel about that? With God's help, I'm speaking to the chosen ones. With God's help, you and I, and I mean this with my heart, I mean this with a passion, we can make a difference. We can make a difference. Yes, this week, each of you, as chosen ones of God, have come here. We're here for to receive our divine supplies, to receive our divine provisions, for, including myself, refueling that we can make a difference during our journeys. This is our refueling zone. Everyone needs to be refueled. No one, no exception. Each of you are leaders or potential leaders, chosen ones to this generation. Each of you will preach the message of the kingdom. A man that's had an experience with the Lord is not at the mercy of another man's doctrine. You didn't have the experience his own now. There ain't no turning back. When that fish and loaves ain't there, you fasting. No turning back. Where you going to go? Some of the old timers are gone. They have left us. Don Basham, Marcus Haggett. I was listening to one of Marcus' tapes here, what he was teaching here many years ago. Pastor Wynn Worley, Derek Prince, this camp, our overseers, had affiliation with all of these people. Frank and Ida Mae Hammond, we have Frank's pastor here. He's one of those that he mentored with us. Frank Mazzulla, his son and I are very close friends. We minister a lot together, Frank Mazzulla Jr. Bill Banks has gone, Impact Publishing. Dr. William Noe wrote the book on rejection. Pastor Chris Simpson, who mentored Pastor Bo Fisher over 15 or so years. The Apostle Glenn Miller, who went to be with the Lord this year. And by the way, I'm taking my time through this this period of being restored after losing my father in the ministry. And I'm not in no rush. So if I get a little, I'm not grieving and I'm not mourning, I'm okay. But I just celebrating Jesus for the man of God and all the years he sowed in my life. So I don't have a problem with talking about it or anything like that. So it's not that I'm weak or feeble or anything like that. I just love the man of God. So I decided I'm going to talk a little bit about it, a little bit more than most people want to talk about, people that are going on to be with Jesus. Okay. And so there were many others. And so my question to each of you, and particularly to the young soldiers that are coming into the Lord in warfare, regardless of age, where are the replacements? Where are the men and women of God that are coming up the ranks to take their place? Who among you, who is willing to take a submissive role under a chosen leader 5 years, 10 years, 15 years or more before coming to your ministry? And I would not hastily say amen. There are some draft dodgers amongst deliverance workers today around the world too. It's kind of hard to accept this truth because most deliverance workers know how demons operate under their authority and who has authority and who doesn't. And deliverance workers should also know authority because we operate in the dunamis, the exousia power for God. And but for those, the number of deliverance workers who have self-appointed, they self-appoint themselves, those who do not understand the importance of authority and submission and mentorship, they self-appoint themselves, they pay themselves their own tithes, and they put the name on the building. I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to warn you, that just because you know how to do stuff, you know how to help somebody believe in miracles and minister the word as a believer, doesn't qualify you for a government office. It just don't make you a pastor because they kick you out of church and you deliver, so we open our own. I'm not going to talk a lot about authority right now because that's just too long of a subject. But for authority to be represented, there must be first submission. And I can spend a long time talking about authority and submission, but sometimes this thing is so strong, so strong, I just pay it to myself. I mean, I'm making $6,000 a month. $600 to my ministry, and about a year, God told me I'm going to be able to get a building. How long have you been in ministry? 3 years. They kicked me out of church. I do deliverance. Sunday. Now, that's not an issue here because this is a deliverance minister conference, so I'm talking to the internet group. Woo! You have to bend one and know one. All right. So I'm teaching out of a pastor, and I'm switching over to the administrative teaching, and then back to a teacher. So we just gotta flow wherever God wants to go. And I was certain that that's what He's gonna do today. So each of you, as the chosen ones, are not here by an accident. You represent the cream of the crop. You represent the called, the chosen, the faithful. You are the appointed ones. And that's good news. Mm-hmm. Every one of you have been called to set the captives free. Do you realize how much of the ministry out there, and I'm talking about lots of numbers, don't have a clue, are clueless to the revelation? But do you also recognize that that can be a very dangerous revelation if you do not understand submission? So I just can't find. Well, I've wrote a book called Strange Fire, but I would strongly recommend the book Undercover by John Bevere. Am I pronouncing his name right? Bevere? Bevere. I've read all of them myself. I think I found one back there called Honor. I didn't ever see that before. So mine is insignificant compared to what is there. Okay? And mine is written to the draft dodger, so you know you ain't a draft dodger anyway, so you need to read his book. I just suggest that to you, okay? To all of us. I'm not suggesting anything I have not done. All right? Mark those who tell you to do things that they don't do. Whoa. Well, y'all need to fast forward there. Where you going? I'm going to all you can eat tonight. Okay. If I was talking about fasting, I'll tell you some stories about that. Everybody on fast, we walk in the house, they in there gorging themselves. Okay, all right. But you know, most ministers in America that have been introduced to deliverance don't do deliverance in their ministry because they feel like it's too messy. It's too much time, too much effort required. It doesn't add to their prestige. Now, someone asked me yesterday, I think they said I was dressed real nice and everything, but you know what? It's the dress don't make the man make the dress. So, some things we do as believers, leaders, ministers, friends, pastors and everything, it's not so much what we're doing, but for ourselves, leadership is a very long position. So we do things we feel led of the Lord to break down certain traditional barriers. Because you can go too far left by saying, I ain't aware because that's just too religious. So we do it, we put it back on and show you a non-religious person preaching. So we do things on purpose. I'm just giving y'all a little hint of what's going on in the pastoral realm because many of you are aspiring pastors. Some of you already went there, but you didn't win scribe on me, oh Lord. Not you. Internet. Internet. I'll be getting emails from all over now. Some of the ministries don't deliver because they think that it's associated with paper towels, and they call it bless all, and garbage cans, and it gets too messy. You know, some of us that they feel this way. So each of you, as leaders, as potential leaders, as chosen ones, have been chosen to the ministry of deliverance to set the captives free. Now the devil has managed; he's done a pretty good job for the last couple thousand years in keeping the message of deliverance somewhat suppressed until just 40, 50 years ago. And many of us, and you and I, have had the privilege of being under accountable men and women of God that have strengthened the ranks and strengthened each of us. But these are times of restoration. On the other hand, unfortunately, if many leaders and believers from around the world were arrested for their Christian beliefs, and they were interrogated by the Antichrist authorities for their ministry of deliverance, I'm afraid to say many of our brothers will be found innocent. And the only person I know can change that is you and I. Now, something is wrong when the church gets found innocent. So if they arrest me somewhere, you can be rest assured that I was going to be found guilty. And I'll tell them, just like they tell you on these spy movies and stuff like that, we're going to send you back out there. No, keep me in here. Because they know they go back out, they're going to kill them. Because they figure they snitched. Some of us Well, okay. You remember in the book of Judges, for your scripture reference, I know I'm talking to chosen ones, these are potential leaders, so I will give you some scripture I will read verbally. Some of it I'm going to do expository delivery. But you remember in chapter 7 of Judges that there was a gentleman by the name of Gideon. Now, specifically, I'll read verse 7 of chapter 7. I'll read that scripture only. I think everyone is familiar with chapter 6 and chapter 7. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap it, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place." Now, Gideon had been chosen of God, chosen to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now, Midianites, of course, is the second wife of Abraham from the marriage of Keturah. And out of that marriage, they came with the seed of Midian. And you always find Midian associated with financial issues, trafficking in the souls. The Midianites, the ragheads, the Ishmaelites were responsible for taking Joseph into Egypt. So you're always going to find Midianites when you're talking about poverty issues, impoverishment, and you're having financial problems. But I wonder why some of this great word faith that's going out don't tell you about the problem. So the real issue is there. So because of Israel's sin, they were delivered to the hand of Midian, which you'll find in the sixth chapter, the first five verses of Judges. And so when the season came for Israel to harvest their crops and goods and their animals, here come the Midianites, here come the Amalekites. You know what? They knew their season. They knew their time of increase. Some of us tell everything. I know, I used to be one. But Israel, because of their evil deeds and sin, they were not protected during this time, these 7 years. And they were, the Bible says in Judges 6, probably verse 11 or 12, that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. They were impoverished, all right? Poverty. But what happened during this 7 year? They cried out to the Lord. And that cry is the same cry that's used in Exodus, the third chapter, I think, verse 15 or so. Jerry probably knew that scripture by heart. It's a different type of cry out to the Lord. It's a surrender. It's a total, some of us have been there. Some of us did that for our marriages, for our sons and daughters, for our congregations, for our own selves. We cried out to the Lord, travailed from the bottom pits of our bowels. All right? So after 7 years, our perfected God, our perfect God, had a new beginning for Israel, just like he has a new beginning for each of your ministries. But before they could get to the point where they could get their ends making, just like we're trying to get to a point where all of our needs are taken care of, Israel would hide themselves in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. They were hiding from the Midianite bill collectors. And so we need to minimize our dependence upon credit. We need to start tearing down that tower. Alright? You need to have consider that. Alright? They had almost become dependent upon the credit because they were only getting just the leftovers. Alright? Whatever that may have been left after they came in there in their season of increase and took everything they had. So they were hiding, but God had a plan, and God raised up this man, Gideon. Of course, God is the man of valor here. So he raised up a man, and Gideon begins his call here, as you've read in these first five or six verses, I'm sure, by now. He had 32,000 of the most choice, ready, armed soldiers, ready for war. Competent men, ready for war. But my question is to you, were they ready? God knew that a number of these individuals were self-confident. And I remember my senior pastor, Pastor Dean, back there. He told us that, Brother Jim, because we was excited about war. We young whippersnappers. He always had tissues for us to blow our nose in. And then when we got two up there. And he said, you know, God gives us enough victories to keep us going. Sometimes there's a few defeats to keep us honest. It's all about Him. He gets the glory. He is the only one. And so there was a number of self-confident individuals there, but there also there were God knew there was a number of fearful people in this group. All right, so when God instructed Gideon to instruct them that wanted to go back, you know, I cannot come. I got to go check my mules and prove them or whatever. But anyway, then we know that another 22,000 booked up. They went on. They left. You know, they had been traumatized over the 7 years of hostile events that had obscured their understandings on the truth of God. And God was now in the presence of Israel, and they could not understand that. So 22,000 left. Now we got 10,000 of the most choice, ready for war. Ready. Oh, but God told Gideon the people are yet too many. And he instructed Gideon to bring them down to the water. Now, the self-confident ones were the ones that were not prepared based upon how they drank the water, based upon their character. And so finally we get down now to the 300 watchmen that are prepared for war. People, as we approach the end times, God is going to thin the ranks. Many of the ministries that we understand to be, or that we understand are in spiritual warfare, God is going to thin many of the ranks. He thins the ranks when he makes warriors. So don't be dismayed if you don't have a large group when you begin. Gideon's 300 men represented approximately 1% of the original 32,000. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen it. I remember before 9/11, we had the chairs filled to the back. And after 9/11, the chairs were half filled up. And it does affect you a little bit, but our pastor and our leader, he would approach it. He would approach up, and he would get us kicked off. It didn't matter if we had 150 in there or we had 50. Same war, same devil. Got the same God. But it might have challenged Gideon to see that whole area over there where we parked the cars that filled with people, and now all we got is enough on the sidewalk. And with this 300 refined group of less than 1%, God used them to defeat a troop of over 1,000,000. So once again, I speak to the chosen ones, you and I, we will make a difference. Do not become weary in your well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Prophetically, it is our season. The time of increase is present. Now, I want to show you in a passage of Scripture in Mark, the 3rd chapter, the appointment, the choosing of the 12 apostles, Jesus' public ministry, in the 13th verse I'm going to read. The Bible says, "And Jesus goeth up into a mountain, and he called unto him," and I have this underlined in my scriptures, "whom he would." So I want you to understand there were quite a number of disciples there. I don't know, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, less, more or less. "And they came unto him, and he ordained 12. And then, I want you to read this. It says that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, to cast out demons. Now, in Mark, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. He was there the whole night praying. He was seeking for illumination, guidance. And he came down, called his disciples unto him. And verse 14, we see out of maybe 200, 300, whatever, he chose 12. So we know, and you can hold your spot there, in Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 37, as Jesus was making his triumphant entry, the Bible says, "And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." Jesus had whole multitudes of disciples, whole multitudes. So here in verse 14, the word here is that he ordained. All right? But in Luke, the 6th chapter of Luke, and I want you to come back here, verse 13, in Luke's account, the Bible says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples of them, and he chose 12. So, what were they chosen to become? Apostles. Ooh, chosen ones. To develop a relationship with Jesus also. But they had a ministry that God was teaching them. Supernatural. Deliverance. Healing the sick. Casting out devils. Raising the dead." And Scripture 14 out of Mark 3 says that they were chosen first to be with him, chosen to develop a relationship with Jesus. If we don't get anything out of this text for this entire message today, get the revelation of the importance of relationship. Chosen to spend considerable time in close fellowship, Jesus was going to train them. He wasn't going to send them out as novices as they were. He was going to dedicate weeks, months, even years just to them, mentoring them. Those 12, training them for the ministry of deliverance. Here's a very important principle. Relationship before ministry. If you have a problem developing relationship with folk, you might want to check yourself, your character. Right? I need to be able to communicate with individuals. And I have worked in the sump pumps down in the bottom of a hole 10, 20, 30 feet down with the nastiest chemicals they use. And I've had the privilege of being in front of politicians, and judges, and whatever else. You need to be able to communicate. Or you need to be able to know how to be quiet when you don't have nothing to say. It's okay to be quiet in front of people. You can say, "Well, how you doing? Very happy." Well, you don't say very much. Whatever God wants us to say. It's okay. People respect that. Important here. Jesus is going to spend all this time with them, training them for the deliverance ministry. So my question to the internet group, we qualified. Not so. Bit of humor. My question, who and where are your mentors today? How are you drinking water today? Are you prepared? Are you not prepared? Have you spent weeks, months, years with a delegated authority, with a mentor? Do you have a spiritual voice? Well, together, we represent disciples who have been faithful to another man's work. Jesus says, "Unless you've been faithful in another man's work, I will not give you your own." So you need to know that you're not here by an accident, because God has taken note of your faithfulness to serve. Whether you was a Sunday school teacher, whether you was helping the one of the leaders feed the poor, some kind of way, he popped that revelation of deliverance in you. You represent him. You're chosen. You are the elect. Don't let no devil take that from you. Each one of you have been chosen for the deliverance ministry. Apostolic. Elect of God. And none of you are overconfident or fearful. There should be a thousand here today. But God has thinned the ranks. Preparing each of us for the battles that lie ahead. It should humble us. We are to continue to work. Let's turn to Acts, the first chapter. We are to continue the works that Jesus had. Are we continuing the works? Or have we developed a better way? I could not tell you how many times I have been rebuked by scientists and doctors that use crystals and deliverance and all these other things. I mean, one night I was sitting back there and I came up and taught, and I didn't know. I just was teaching about idolatry and different things. When I came back there, the lady told me, she was a doctor from Dallas, she said, "You just stepped all over me." I said, "What?" I didn't even know what was happening. I had to wait till late on at night to figure out, put two and two together, what happened. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm without a rock being thrown my way, because I've done some things too. I'm certain he makes more decisions, make more mistakes. But anyway, when I recognize that, I will publicly repent. whatever. So in Acts, the very first chapter, verse 1, it says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, appointed, elected, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Jesus rose from the dead, and he spent 40 days with whom? With the apostles. And what were they called here in verse 2? They were called chosen ones. Elect. And we need to do a much better study on this, on the teaching of the elect. So Jesus spent 40 days exclusively with not the hundreds of disciples, 20, 30, 200, 300, 500, more, we don't know. But he spent it with the apostles, and according to these first three passages of Scripture, he spoke about one subject. The Bible says this was 40 days concentrated on one subject, the kingdom. Some of us have already been here about a day and a half, 2 days, and we're bored.
That's all they're going to talk about. Demon.
Oh, mm-hmm. We hear you outside, late for the meetings. I just want to tell you, brother, I've been doing this for about 30 years up in North Carolina or whatever. Oh, I hope nobody from North Carolina just said that. Trust me, it's not a target to anybody. I usually use myself, you know, myself, my family, my church. Slipped on that one. North Carolina is a blessed place, please. Sorry. 40 days teaching on the kingdom. The kingdom. And you know why? Because the apostles were going to be the administrators of the gospel, of the message of the kingdom during the first century. And what was going to be the main feature of these men? Supernatural. Healing the sick. Casting out devils. Miracles. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Raising the dead. And they were all going to preach the message of the kingdom. They were going out to preach the kingdom, of which they did. And Jesus said, I know you're familiar with this passage of Scripture in John 14:12. Jesus said, and I heard this ministered, I think, on the first night. I hadn't had any water today or something, so it's okay. I probably need a drink of water, if y'all don't mind. John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," I know you're familiar with the passage of Scripture, "he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Well, brother, let me tell you something about this divine passage of Scripture here. You will, and I learned this from Pastor Norman Parrish about 15 years ago. Thank you, Elder. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. And I'm going to drink it, too. I'll sit it down when we get to it. Brother Parrish was in Beaumont, I'm going to say at least 15 years ago, on this particular subject. And he said, you know, you will never do the greater works, have a greater works ministry, until you are able to do the very same works of Jesus. So, are you doing the very same works, or do you have a better way? We, as chosen ones, must be committed to take this message to the church, to take this message to the world. You have been appointed. You have been chosen, and the devil is going to do everything conceivably possible to hinder and restrain your calling. But you have been divided. No man in here, there's nobody in here, I hope there's nobody here, but take credit for the revelation God has given you on understanding about demonology and the power of the cross. So if your revelation is from a man, well, okay. I'll read about you about 20 years from now. I hope not, though. But think about what's been preached the last 100 years, the gospel of peace and the gospel of love. And I know it's a rhetorical towards some of you, because I don't like to change too much, but I just got into a little phase here for the next 2 or 3 years, and I'm going to teach this thing. And I'm going to teach you where the demons are, but we're not going to cover that in this short session. Some people, I spent 15 years in ministry many years ago. It's been longer than 15, but it was about 15 years before I figured out, I better learn how to explain to people when they ask me what a demon is at. How they get in, how they get out, why we born with them. You got to get a little bit more detail. So I started writing syllabus, and I have lessons and everything. So I passed it out. I said, follow me, A, B, C, D. Now you ought to be able to repeat that. I don't know why I didn't think about it. Just something we just take for granted. We know we got to be delivered, and that's far as we go with it. Dig deeper. I admonish you. Dig deeper. Learn. Study to show yourself approved. And so we had the last 100 years, the gospel of peace, the gospel of love, but that alone is not the full gospel. It's a diminished gospel. You are the chosen ones. You've been called to preach the kingdom of God. Jesus preached the kingdom. The 12 preached the kingdom. The 70 preached the kingdom. And the one that John stopped preached the kingdom. Why are you preaching anything else? I got a better way, Brother Landry. I'm in the prophetic. So I'm going to go after the prophetic. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go after, they're going to call it seed, but that's the seed right there, Brother Hunter. So, and those that cried out, like the Israelites cried out in bondage in Egypt, and like the people of God cried out, being confronted by the Midianites and Amalekites, those that cried are going to be brought into the ministry of deliverance. Now, it's a high calling, but if you want to be popular, you ain't going to last. It's going to squeeze you out like a wet towel. Well, in Acts, the very first chapter, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus began both to do and teach. All that. So what does that mean? Jesus was about to go but he was going to continue the work that he had done in his earthly body, now in his spiritual body, the church. So what he began, we continue. You don't say it's over with now. It went out after the death of the last apostle. Okay. Each of you represent the chosen ones during these times of restoration. Will you sacrifice your ministries if it's necessary to help build another man's work? If it was aligned in a different format for teaching today, I could give you history after history after history. Now, everybody can't go Brother Jim way, okay? I understand that. So don't, this is not a judgment. But I have to deliver the message, so I just got to give you what God gave me. Because, I wrestled last night, and when I had such a sound sleep, I'm pretty sure when I woke up, that's what God wanted me to teach. Because, we study Monday, Tuesday, for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we don't study Tuesday for Wednesday. We study 24-7, 365, all the time. And God's got to give the message that he wants for the people. I mean, I always got a message for the people. As pastor, that's just something that's reserved in me at the local church. But this ain't the local church. This is apostolic. You're the men and women of God. You're the chosen ones. All right? So, yes, we need to visit repentance today, but we also need to have some exhortation. And then we got to get you up. Okay. So, my question once again, will you sacrifice your ministries if necessary to help build another man's work? Do you have vision? Do you know your destiny? Is your destiny to preach or to make disciples? True preachers are servants, and they sacrifice themselves and they promote others. Mark them that promote themselves at the sacrifice of others. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. We are starting to see some ministry that are starting to learn the basic fundamentals of spiritual warfare, starting to learn the basic understandings of deliverance. They are going Hollywood. Jim Landry, Sacks of Hollywood Deliverance Ministry, specializing in breaking of generational curses, delivering you from the curses of poverty, $250 for a weekend seminar. Others have been taught about deliverance, how to market deliverance, and some counseling sessions might cost you $500 for a trifecta in the weekend. Others will not trust God for their provisions. They'll kind of worm their way through the conversation, indicating that they need so much before they can come. They make excuses. I have to go prove my bills. I ain't going to preach unless you give me some money. Mm-hmm. Give me my sons and my daughters. Give me my seed for God. I'll give up every dollar for them. They will also evangelize and preach to the nations. You can have your big houses, your big cars. And I done had all of that. And I'll have it again if I want it, if God allows me to have it, but it ain't my heart. That's the heart of the husband there. It's okay. It's balanced. Okay. All right. Then they got those that are, unfortunately, in the deliverance ministry, got some Samsons. I call them Samsonite. And I have a real nice package. I like to buy Samsonite luggage. And I was out of town, and my thing came open. And I said, the zipper, so I had to re-zip it. I got that Samsonite to work, but they're so high. But one thing about it, they got a 10-year warranty. But you got to find a store to repair it. But I like Samsonite nuggets. I like the ones that move real good and mash up, you know. But they got Samsonites in our midst, too. Oh, yeah, they don't contract for something. They have no power to offer anything. Hirelings! Samson lost his hair. He lost his power. And we have too many people in deliverance right now got their eyes on Delilah. Oh, yeah, they spiritual blind. They function as they blind, and they blind in their ministries. They blind in their characters. You know, deliverance is not really a gift. Excuse me for using somebody else's teaching. Deliverance is not a gift. It's a work, a ministry. But I want to share with you just a moment on the importance of character. I'm mindful, I think, this is Numbers 22, we had a gentleman by the name of Balaam. And Balaam was a very famous man. He was known as a seer. And all the people in the communities, they knew who him. They trusted his word. He was able to curse. And military personnel today use psychics and everything else and whatever else they can to try to win these battles. And so, of course, Balak and the Moab and the Midian kings, they didn't have a clue who all these people coming in. Just like the devil don't have a clue what's going on here. He said, man, what in the world is God raising up here in Lake Hampton? And so here we are. They see the masses of people. These kings are a little distressed because they know what happened to the Amalekites and the kings over there who obeyed Israel's safe passage. And Israel wasn't even going to drink their water or graze their cows on their land. They just wanted to get through. And they said, no. So they come out going to fight them. And so the iniquity of the enemy shall return upon his own head. He loved cursing. Cursing shall return to him. He dig a pit, he fall in it. And so I'm quoting some scripture for you young warriors. You women of God are going to be great in the use of God and men of God. That if you have perfect love and you know the word of God, that with the curse that comes that doesn't have a cause will not alight itself. The iniquity of the enemy that's coming against you will go back on the head. As you develop and get older, your compassion, you will be trying to help everybody because you know it's going back. You'll be trying to keep them from going back because you'll be trying to, you love them so much. I mean, and so here we are. We got these individuals here, these kings. They say, well, we're going to have to hire Balaam to curse this. And so y'all know the story. God said, you can't curse. But I have blessed. These people are blessed. So Balaam gave a report to these princes. And these princes come in there. And they had no red shirt on, I know. But they come in there. And they was highfalutin, big shots. I mean, and they had all the paperwork and everything and from them kings. And they bust up in the door there. And Balaam, I know Balaam looked them over a little bit there. He said, well, he didn't send out the boys. He sent out the men. But God told him that night, no, you should not go with them. For what I have blessed is blessed. You are blessed, chosen ones. You are the chosen. You are the blessed of the Lord. And so consequently, the kings could not just accept that. They don't understand. They don't have the mind of God. All right. But Balaam could communicate. God would communicate with him. And so they decided to send him back with a little bit more. They offered him the 3 G's. Girls, gold, and glory. But anyway, so they come in and they all dressed up and all neat and everything. And boy, they looking good. And Balaam checking them out. Man, I mean, I don't know if they had starch back then, but they could embalm people, so maybe they did. So anyway, they had you got that. That was fresh. Trust me, it was fresh. So Balaam, he kind of took note of that, and he said, well, I think you'll find in 22:19 that he changed his mind. He said, well, y'all stay here. Let me see what God say tonight. So he never changed his word, but his heart was far from God. Balaam was a man with a gift, but he had no character. And so he decided, Revelation 2:14, it teach you that Balaam taught them, those kings, how to get Israel to fornicate. Oh, yeah. Now, excuse me again, I want to say this. Because I thought it was good. And I heard this teaching, so I'm repeating with some extra things that God gave me. So they sent them pretty bobitis women in there and got the men out of there. All right? And they taught the Israelites how to fornicate. So the Moabites, the Midianites, they took Israel without even lifting the sword. Don't let the devil seduce you like that. Don't let the devil take you out like that. Took them out without even using a sword. Taught the men how to fornicate and everything. Now, men, I don't need to tell you more than anybody else because some of my elders know I came to them when I need prayer, I go, I don't play around. I know about eyes. I know I got an eye, I got a neck right here. All right, and so let me tell you something, by the way. All of God's women are beautiful. It's the anointing. And I told him 20-something years ago, me and my wife got married. I said, we ain't going to look the same. And she ain't going to look the same 40 years from now. I said, but it's the anointing. It's God that restored us. All right? And so, but some people, you're looking for the outside, you're in trouble. Anyway, so, Balaam looking on the outside. And so, you men have to be careful. You got a neck, so when you see something like that, and you're looking down like this, just turn your head. You got a neck, and you got eyes, and like Dr. Noe said, you get that first look, but that second look gets you in trouble. I know about that. I did a second look before. Didn't hear about 10 years ago. Didn't even know I did it. My eyes had dropped down, and I didn't know why the lady was asking me what she was asking. Saying, but she distanced herself from me. And when I got back in my car, I sat down. The Lord said, witchcraft curse that caused your eyes to roll down on that lady. I said, oh, my God. So I never did see her again. I never apologized. Some of y'all got integrity to tell you the truth? Same the devil. Now, maybe some of these people got the revelation. They probably know. I ain't crazy. But anyway, and so God give you eyes and a neck. All right, but on the same thing, you ladies, y'all built up a little different than men, and rightfully so. I'm glad my wife don't look like no man. And so you also have to be careful. That was a blessing, wasn't it? Good teacher. And y'all also have to be careful because y'all got all this back here. And so you have to be careful too, because the Bible says we don't want to put a stumbling block. Balaam had a gift. He had no character. What about Samson? Oh, give me that woman. He had a problem. His pants was in his brains. He told everything. He wanted to tell anyway. All he needed was a Delilah. He needed somebody to whisper in his ears and tell him how beautiful he was, how much muscle he had. He lost his hair. He lost his power. Some of us, people come for prayer. We just got through having a steak and everything, and we shut them off, tell them going 3 days, you know, fast because we so full we don't feel like praying. You ain't got no power, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm. Samson, another brother, had a gift, but had no character. And even Moses had a confrontation in the 20th chapter of Numbers, and I personally believe his Miriam had just died, and this is what happened to me. 10 years ago, my mother had just died. Sister Dean was dying. Brother Ted Rush, one of the ministers, been with me 15 years, was dying. I was at my most weakest state. I was very vulnerable. And in that weakest state, that allowed that flaw to manifest. So I spent the next 10 years getting free from that. And trust me, everybody in my congregation knew this, and all my mentors. That one act was enough for me to go to war. But I didn't go make amends with everybody that might knew about it. That's your issue. You got to love me. You got to hope I got free. And so Moses is dealing with that issue. Moses is dealing with that issue. And they all argue with Moses. We could have stayed there. We ain't got no water. We ain't got no onions or food. We're just so disturbed by you, Moses. Moses is all upset and everything. God said, well, listen up. I want to give them water. I want you to go speak to the rock. And so I want to give them water. And they need this for themselves and their beasts. And Moses said, okay, so Moses went down. Did he speak to the rock? He said, you rebels! You don't do deliverance like I do! Come get them! And he missed the promised land. He got, and I think it's in Deuteronomy 34 chapter, he got right to the end there, and he could look all over there. And he buried him on this side. He got to see it, but he couldn't go in. He let anger get him, just the most meekest man that was. Just for that one moment. It cost him. But what was the sin? He gave the people the impression that God was angry at them. God wasn't angry with them. That was Moses' problem that day. God ain't angry with y'all people. I don't care what you might have heard from him the last 3 or 4 days. God love y'all. Amen. And I know I'll put it out there. I'll go from a pastor, from the hip for the pastor. I'll do everything I can to get you on your knees, falling out, snotting and booging and everything. All right, but I'm going to try to bring you back up. But at the same time, God, I promise you, he's not angry with y'all. And that's the only thing Moses did. Most meekest man it was. So here's a man with a gift, but at that day he didn't have no character. You got any character? Jesus said in Mark, the 7th chapter, he talked about it's going to be false prophets that's going to come amongst us. I don't have much more, but yeah, I do. I got plenty. Excuse me for lying. I apologize. In Mark, the 7th chapter, and everyone familiar with the passage of Scripture, let me read. Did I say Mark? It's Matthew, the 7th chapter. You know the judging chapter in verse chapter 7, so Matthew, the 7th chapter. Let me just read verse 15. It says that beware of false prophets. Beware of these doctrines, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Now, Jesus continues to warn the disciples here, and then give some visual and spiritual descriptions of their character. And he said, "You'll know them by their fruits." And then he goes on and then he says in 18 that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So he's giving us some description here. And then he even warns the deliverance workers of this dispensation, that many will say to me in that day, "Lord, have we not prophesied and built big edifice?" It took me a while how to pronounce that. It was almost as hard as learning how to pronounce pomegranates. And this is what we do. We do stuff. You say, and we have cast out demons, and in thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then here God warns us as deliverance workers. He says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Iniquity. Evil and all his evil consequences. And I think Pastor Boaz, somebody covered iniquity in 1 Samuel 16, 22, 23, or somewhere with King Saul. And so, here within these passages of Scripture, without me going in to say sometime, and you're going to have to go back and do your own studies. I try to give two or more sides to the presentation to eliminate potential questions and cover in text, but you still have to go do study yourself. But Jesus warns the deliverance workers who serve independent of authority, iniquity, workers of iniquity. Independent people, folk, who say, are going to say to him, "Lord, have we not done these things in your name?" He'll say, "I don't even know you." So, brother, I want to tell you that we're not going to be judged on our gifts. And many of us possess these gifts. But we're going to be judged on our works, on your fruit. And Jesus says that we should know them by their fruit. And deliverance workers are included inside this text. There are far too many stuck-up ministers in the deliverance ministry today that have separated themselves from the head, and they have separated themselves from the body because of ministerial technique and methodology. The devil is a lie. What were the basis of the chosen one? What was the basis and the scriptural basis for the calling of the chosen one, and the calling of you and I as chosen ones? And you'll find that in Psalms 101, verse 6. The Bible says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." This was the basis of the election of the 12 and each of you. So why did Jesus choose these men above others? Why did he give you a deliverance ministry? Why did he choose you? Why are you a chosen one? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. That was the revelation. See, Jesus chose the 12 and each of us to be with him. And in Psalms 101, verse 6, says that God chooses the faithful to be with him, to walk with him. So judge yourselves. Are you faithful? And I wouldn't hasten to say amen. Have you been faithful with another man's word before you receive your own? Or have you been faithful with your time? Have you served in your church, investing your money, your knowledge, your gifts, and your talents? Faithful, faithful, faithful. That's the basis for being with the Lord when he returns. You and I are the chosen ones. The elect. The elect, the chosen ones, must prove that they are faithful. The difference between the called and the chosen is what? Faithfulness. You desire to be effective in the deliverance ministry, in spiritual warfare, then faithfulness is a requirement, no substitution. So, brethren, you don't know what you've got in your hands. Some of you young people that are here, some I've shaken hands with, got to know some of you, and I just bless you. I'm just so touched because I know you've chosen one. You're one of us, and we're one of you. We all got a part in this thing. Each of us represent a pearl of great price to God. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this pearl of great price? Dear God, we enter into a prayer as men and women of God in spiritual warfare and workers of ministry of deliverance. We recognize that we may have been careless, that we have in the past maybe not truly valued the ministry of deliverance that was given to us. And we thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, for the power, for the authority, for the Word of God, for Yeshua Mashiach, the all-powerful name of Jesus, the precious blood. And we thank you, God, that you have calling and placed a calling on us, and we humble ourselves before you because we realize it is a supernatural calling and that not many that are called are chosen. And we appeal before you, God, in brokenness because we realize the importance of the ministry that you call us, and we realize that we're going to need you to develop us in order to be found faithful and in this work that you've called us to do. So God, we are privileged people. Help us to fulfill the calls that that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us today. We ask God that you will give us the qualifications that is going to be needed, that we might be greatly used, that we might serve you, that we might honor you, that we exalt you, and that our life's testimony, that our ministry would save many, deliver many, would disciple many for the kingdom, that others will go forward also preaching the message of the kingdom. So, Lord, I pray and over the ministry, the ministries, the chosen ones that are represented here, and on the video, to tear down all of the territorial spirits that have hindered their ministry. I pray, Father, and declare, Lord God, the victory is in Jesus Christ and for healings and for commissions to the camp of God here. I ask that God, that you will bless these ministries and protect them in the years to come in the service of the kingdom. Amen. At this time, I'd like for the speakers to come forward. Pastor Bronson, Evangelist Colonel Williams, Pastor Bo Fisher. All of the speakers, please come forward and join me. Thank you, Pastor Apostle Moody. There are those that are here. Our responsibility here, apostolically to those that are here, is not to exceed the apostolic structure that you are under. We recognize your apostolic structures and authority, chain of commands, and we honor them. But a professional covering is implied by our group. Some may have never had hands laid upon them, and I'm not asking for the groups that have and just want it again, but some that may have never had the actual apostolic prayer of impartation and blessing to go in your ministry. And if you haven't, you need to come forward. You need to come quickly because I'm not going to take long up here and take time to do that. And let's apostolically impart to them the ministry of deliverance and bless their ministries to go forward. Those that had it done before, if I know you have them, I have you sit down. I'm telling you. I know I can get kind of like, you know, pretty strong. Tamara, sit down, please. Yes, sit down. I keep coming up. Those that have never had it, had the apostolic ministry. Amen. Let's bless them. Quickly, let's bless them as they come.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.